Lifestyle Matters. It's more than money.
Filling in for Dave and Faisal today, my name's Leanna Wojcik. I'm joined today by Rob Geary. How are you doing, Rob?
I am great, Leanna, and it's been a busy week in the markets, and there's a talk now of volatility happening with an event coming up. We'll talk about that, but do stick around because we're going to be talking about the biggest scams and how to avoid them, especially for seniors coming up.
That's very important, but before we get there, the little event that Rob just mentioned there is the U.S. election, of course. That is less than 2 weeks away, and if you are wondering about how that might impact your portfolio or your finances as a Canadian, stick around for our guest because we are joined by Lisa Raitt. She's the Vice Chair of CIBC Capital Markets and Managing Director of Global Investment Banking, and she is the expert on this subject. So thanks for joining us today, Lisa.
I am delighted to be here. Thank you.
Lisa, obviously this is coming up. November 5th is happening very quickly. For Canadians, it becomes the same fear, right? It becomes a fear of an election and some change happening going forward. So it might be give us just a highlight here on what potential impacts we could see in Canadian financial markets, especially in sectors like energy and resources, if there's a change in U.S. leadership.
It's a great question, Rob, and thank you very much for having me on today. We're really focused on what's happening in the United States right now. And it's not just in terms of what's going to happen in the markets, with just what's going to happen in the country in general. I mean, obviously, if you do see a President Harris, it's going to be a bit of a different flavor than a re-President Trump. And as a result, you're kind of preparing for both eventualities. But if you boil it down, what markets are going to react to is what's going to happen to the economy for Canada. And in both cases, they're quite similar. Either a Republican or a Democratic presidency, given the fact that they are going to be looking at the Canada Free Trade Agreement again in 2026, both of these entities really do have, I would say, anti-competitive measures within their platforms. It's not going to be easy necessarily to deal with either of them. They're going to be both protectionist in the way they do it. Just the way Mr. Trump could be a little bit more hectic or chaotic than the way Kamala Harris would do it.
So that's an interesting point. You brought up trade there. What would be the difference between both of their platforms and the impacts of the difference between both of their platforms on us as Canadians?
Yeah. So in the case of the Democratic platform, they, of course, will want to have U.S. jobs, and the U.S. jobs will be linked to manufacturing. And as a result, you'll see some protectionist measures around whether or not you're going to be able to use Canadian labor on a project, for example, whether or not a Canadian company can bid on certain projects, whether or not you're going to have obligations of using 100% of American products, which, of course, indirectly hurts Canadian manufacturing as well. It's very by the book, tried and true kind of things that we're used to dealing with in Canada, where you would go in and you would say to the president, can we have a waiver for this stuff, please? And we've done that with a conservative government and have done that with the liberal government. The Mr. Trump part is different. First of all, he says he's going to put a 10% tariff on everything that crosses the U.S. border. That is concerning. Can you get in and get some kind of a waiver from that? I don't know if it's as clear. I don't know if the process of going in and asking a Trump for that would be as clear. The other danger, of course, is what we have seen him do in the past, which is he has just, by virtue of presidential decree under the guise of national security, racked up significant tariffs on the aluminum sector, on the steel sector, thought about doing it on uranium, didn't pull the trigger on it, but still nonetheless, definitely areas in which you have concern. So to put it broadly, there is a legislative ability for this either government to be able to renegotiate aspects of our Canada-US-Mexico Free Trade Agreement. That makes sense. In the case of Trump, he would also use extrajudicial, extra legislative powers that he has as president to write down these kinds of changes as well. So it's kind of a twofer when it comes to those guys.
Yeah, Lisa, you mentioned, and I know you come from the global investment side too. So, you know, for companies in general, you know, what are they thinking right now and how are they positioning themselves going into this?
Well, they're certainly asking a lot of questions about what do we think is going to happen. And when I say we, I mean former politicians who have dealt with this kind of matter in the past, because you're really just trying to pick up on signals politically as to how far, how fast, and what's going to end up happening. Now, Robert Lighthizer was the U.S. Trade negotiator on behalf of Trump last time. Canada is perceived as getting a really good deal. You could see Trump coming back and wanting to get more out of that deal. That's just a straight up kind of trade piece. So people in the sectors that could be impacted, obviously, are going to be looking at it. I'm going to focus on Trump just for a second because he's the more chaotic of the two. But certainly he has said that we don't compete in dairy. He has certainly said that he's concerned about our borders in general. He's got all kinds of things that may cause him to react in a way that we don't quite anticipate. I would say the good news, though, if there's any good news, and you may take it as good news in a strange way. I may be criticized for saying good news, but the trade isn't the irritant between Canada and the United States right now. The irritant is Canada not fulfilling the 2% of GDP portion of spending on defense that is needed from all NATO countries. That is a real issue for the United States. It's an issue that actually bleeds into trade discussions. So any government is going to have to deal with that. From the sense of either Trump saying we're coming out of NATO in general, or a Harris president saying you guys really have to deal with this because it matters. So if you're in a defense sector or something that touches on defense, I think with either presidency, you're going to have to see Canada really react quickly, far quicker than what the prime minister has said, to get to that 2% level. Otherwise, it's going to impact trade.
Well, and you bring up a good point, and I know you have some experience in the political sphere as well, so you have some knowledge about that. Do you think that any change of policy or the outcome of the election will impact Canadian politics or the Canadian political landscape?
Great question. And if I knew that, I'd be making a lot of money being a fortune teller. But I will tell you something interesting. I would say that some political pundits and some political actors think that the Liberals have a better shot if Trump is actually elected president. And I don't know if that's the case. I think that's a simplistic view of it. Canadians are predisposed to vote out governments as opposed to voting on the basis of what's happening in the United States. Trump and Trudeau have a track record. Trump and Harris and Trudeau know each other as well. But it doesn't matter. If we're not playing ball on defense and we are seen to be difficult on trade matters, regardless of the flavor of Democrat or Republican, it's going to be a rough ride for whoever is going to be the Canadian Prime Minister negotiating that on behalf of Canadians.
Lisa, I mean, we hear this a lot from clients and viewers in general, that this just causes concern, right? It's an event that can cause chaos. We're seeing it. It can cause volatility in the markets. For viewers, can you give kind of your feel and, you know, where you feel people should be thinking going into this election, because the first thing to think about is fear?
Well, it's not a bad one to think about. I'll tell you what keeps me up at night. I just noticed, well, not just noticed, but this past week, there has been some reporting, but not enough in my opinion, on a gathering that happened in Russia. And it was something called the BRIC countries. So usual suspects of that are going to be Brazil and Russia and some others. This time, India and China were there. And everyone was in a good mood and they were happy. And the focus of these other countries, and there was a significant number of them there, was really in one way, either how to reform the world order, which is what India says they want to do, or how to fundamentally change the world order, meaning the U.S. currency as being the world leader in terms of what's being utilized. And that definitely is the opinion of Russia and China. There are serious stakes on the table that's happening in the world geopolitically. The next U.S. president is going to be dealing with that. How they deal with it is going to be extremely important. And it's not just about talking about war or defense. We're talking about economics. Give you an example. One of the pieces, I would say, of, for lack of a better word, I mean, propaganda that came out of this was the countries presented Putin with a representative mock-up of what a BRIC currency would look like to replace the U.S. currency. I mean, they're thinking big picture here. They are thinking about going after the United States. Why do I tell you this? Because that's exactly how the U.S. feels. They feel like they are being attacked. They feel like the other countries are against them in the world and they need to defend against it. So what do they need in general? They don't want Canada with mayors and provincial premiers coming to them to explain to them why they have, you know, 1,000 manufacturing jobs in the United States dependent upon Canadian trade. No, what they want to hear is they want to hear that you've got an ally and a friend who's going to defend you and be with you in this world that is fundamentally changing. We've got your back and we're going to cooperate and help on defense. And I think that is the tone change. And Canadian Prime Minister, whoever it is, really has to get their mind around that fact that it's not just about free trade and how we used to interact with the United States and we have all these connections. Don't talk about trade. Talk about having their back on the world stage. They are preoccupied with that 100%.
Well, Lisa, that is a speculative rabbit hole I'm sure we could spend hours in, but unfortunately, we're going to have to cut it there for time. So thank you so much for joining us today.
It was my great pleasure. Thank you.
We've been joined by Lisa Raitt, Vice Chair of CIBC Capital Markets and Managing Director at Global Investment Banking. And if you're worried about volatility and your portfolio, we have a seminar coming up that you may want to consider attending.
You got it. Join us for our next Calgary seminar Tuesday, October 29th, 7 p.m. in person at the Hamptons Golf and Country Club. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com or connect with us on Facebook to register.
Now stick around after the break. We're going to be talking about protecting yourself online from fraud here on QR Calgary and More Than Money.